I'm Richard Krause, CTV's film critic. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm always afraid that, you know, the fuck is going to slip out while I'm on.
Hi, this is Evan Carter. So I go out there, and as I'm on stage, I'm looking down, and the women went crazy.
Hi, this is Jackie Cation, and you're listening to Comedy Above the Pub. Good name.
Season 4, Episode 2, recorded live at Comedy Bar. Todd's guests from the Sketchersons, Ian McIntyre, and comedian Fraser Young.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comedy Above the Club. Pub. Please welcome your host, Todd Van Allen.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesse. That was the lovely enunciation stylings of Sandman. Jesse is keeping going for him. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you all for coming out. I know this is a weird night to be out here simply because it's Oscar night as we're recording this. So I noticed that some people are positioned. You're very close, madam. Thank you very much for being here. And we have a pack of people at the back who are positioned perfectly so they can not only enjoy the show, but also see through the window to see what Cameron Diaz is wearing. And that is going to be brilliant. It is so good to have you all here. Of course, our guest tonight, we have Fraser Young. Let's hear it for him. He's going to be coming up soon. And as well, no stranger to this place, Comedy Bar, here in Toronto. A member of the Sketchersons normally does Sunday Night Live. They've taken hiatus tonight because, hey, they know not to schedule something on Oscar night. How about that? Who the fuck books these things? That would be me. It's the lovely and talented member of the Sketchersons, Mr. Ian McIntyre, is here as well, who will be bringing him up soon. Very nice. And, of course, it's me, Todd Van Allen. Hey, hi, how are ya? Just let me get this out of the way. Who am I wearing? H&M, I think, is what this shirt is. We'll have it in the show notes later when we take a lovely picture. Thank you again for showing up. How many people have listened to this podcast in the past? Just by applause. Just, okay, wow, that's awesome. That is so, you know, this is about. And some people I noticed didn't clap, and that's totally cool. We don't judge here. You're awful. Just so you folks know what Comedy Above the Pub is all about, we are the only pro Rob Ford podcast in the GTA, and we really use this to get the message out of more cars, less bikes, because let's face it, if you're riding a bike in the city, you have some sort of major defect, possibly strange life choices. We don't know what you're about, so we're just really helping to send this out, but now we'll probably have to take it down because he's got his own radio show on CFRB 1010. So it's been a pleasure performing for all of you all. We'll be wrapping this up afterwards. The actual route for this, I got asked this like twice today. Once by Jesse, actually. He's like, where did the name of the show come from? Comedy Above the Pub. I used to run an open mic show above a pub here in Toronto that was above a pub. And so that was the name, and it went on quite well. And then it stopped. And so I was out today on Facebook, kind of firing out emails and, you know, inviting people to the show and letting people know that, hey, if you hate movies, come on out, essentially. And so we had like invites and stuff like that. And so that's going to fire into people's inboxes that you see from Comedy Bar and people that follow me and stuff like that. And so I got an email about the show, which I thought was really cool. I was like, okay, cool. Our first like listener email. From these live shows, which is great, because we this is the second one we've done, and we're doing the last Sunday of the month, so I thought this is going to be so cool. So I went to it, and it comes through Facebook, which I don't really enjoy as a platform of email, because I think it's just an awful way to do. Whatever happened to Hotmail? Remember that? Remember those halcyon days? Here comes an old man on stage waxing about Hotmail. That's right. My ICQ jokes are coming up. Don't you worry. So this is the email this guy sent me, and he went, hey! It's obviously about the show. Is it an open mic? Have any spots? Let me know. Thanks, bud. High fives. So already I'm irked at this point. He's made me go into Facebook to read this shit. And it's obviously this is not what we're about. We may do a stand-up show at some point, but it will be like, you know, guessing people like the two guys you're about to see tonight who got the chops and come up here and do that sort of thing. So so I replied, you know, as I am wont to do on these things. When someone engaged me, I try to engage them back. So this is what I wrote to him. Hey, bud, long time no see. When I saw the notification saying it was you that sent me an email on Facebook, bracket, my personal favorite user interface for email-style communication, how did you know? 3? Close bracket. I was confused, as I know a couple of guys out there with your very same name. Weird. I know, considering that as you write it, your name is pretty indecipherable. I asked myself, was this the guy from Gananoque that in grade 7 we biked across the parkway to your dad's boss's farmhouse and went and tipped over his outhouse, not realizing that it wasn't an outhouse, and then we spent the better part of a day being congratulated by the police for uncovering a bootleg gin still? Or were you the guy that I was doing shows with in Grand Prairie, Alberta, and I hung out with you and your buddies and then got hammered at a local Legion, and then we wound up back in my hotel room snorting blow off of strippers, and then you were finally contacting me with your share of the security deposit? Actually, I know neither of these things to be true. Those things I just mentioned never happened. Seriously, who the hell are you? When your name came up, I seriously thought, well, Todd, this is to be expected when you go and allow anyone you hated in high school, drug dealers, and mid to decently attractive porn spam bots to follow you on Facebook. Come reap your harvest. So, yeah, sorry. Don't know who the hell you are. Thankfully, you have pictures of yourself on Facebook, so I can tell you have at least once performed on stage at Corktown Comedy at Betty's. How do I know this? Their backdrop is in the background behind you. So please resist the urge to call me Sherlock. I also noticed that in your pic, you're performing on stage, and I noticed that you are dressed in a t-shirt, short pants, and high tops. Way to be the professional stage performer with respect to the audience, you little go-getter. If this seems harsh, and it should, it shows you that you not only do not know anything about me, nor the show that I'm doing tonight. This is apparent in that the comedy show, the name of my podcast is based on, closed almost a year ago to the day you emailed me. When that venue decided they could make easily more money from things other than my comedy show that was bringing in $3 a beer by putting on unlicensed poker tournaments with the Russian mob. True story. Yeah, if you want in, I know the guy. It's also apparent that you don't know anything about me or my intentions by the way you messaged me. So many questions you ask me off the top, I find it off-putting. So let me try some at you. Really? Spots? On a podcast? So many questions? Think I'm wishing that you hadn't put your hard-earned cash towards the metallurgic arts instead of blowing it at the Humber College comedy classes, where I'm sure one of the first lessons they teach you may be to research the person in the venue you're asking for shows on the first time before opening up your glistening with idiocy joke hole? The answer to the last one is yes. I thought I'd feel really bad about replying to you and reading this reply out loud on the podcast, but I realized, hey, you obviously don't know about the podcast, so I'm safe. I'm as safe as the knowledge that James Franco's only dalliance with the Oscars will ever be his appearance last year when he and Hathaway screwed it up so bad they had to get Billy Crystal to save it and cause an entire generation of people to have to explain to another generation of people exactly why the unfunny old man is singing right now. So no, to answer your original questions, there's no spots, and it's not an open mic. And please accept my defriending of you, a privilege I extend only to fucktards like yourself and truly ugly spam bots, as an invitation to the next time that you decide to ask for stage time, do some research, figure out if it's a place that you could perform and would want to, and also suck on a large quantity of donkey dick. Thanks, bud. High fives. So that was me to him. Thank you very much. Shall we start this thing? Shall we get some guests up here? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, right off the top, let's bring up an Ian I enjoy actually having on this show. That is a slam against Ian Atlas, our regular host, who really spends just the bulk of his time calling me a dick face on open air. So it's all right. But this guy is absolutely lovely. He's no stranger to this podcast. And let's bring him up, Mr. Ian McIntyre. Let's bring him up.
Where is he? There he is. There you go, sir. Handy shaky. Good to see you.
Hello, dick face.
Yes, there you go. Now I feel right at home. How are you?
Great, man. How are you doing, Todd?
I am good. This is the first time when you're producing shows like this of this large scale. You get to play house manager a little bit, and this was the first time I ever had to say to like the sound guy, "We're going to hold curtain for five for Ian's burger," and that was how was it? Was it tasty?
It's a delicious
you
burger.
You threw
people.
That into you so fast. I can't wait for that to be repeating through the show.
Oh, thanks. That'll thanks be a good. Lot. What a grim prophecy that
how,
is.
How are you today?
I'm excellent. How yes? are you doing?
You got a break on SNL.
Yeah, no Sunday Night Live tonight.
So obviously everyone's at home crafting more scripts and that sort of thing.
Working diligently.
Working diligently. That's exactly what's happening. I got to host that not too long ago.
Should have seen this guy. He was super funny.
Thank you. Did you hear that snicker of disbelief? That was really, there's no way he could. It was so fun and terrifying.
Yeah.
At the same time, oh, I was shitting it. I was really. Because know this about me and acting skills. I have really a really low acumen of trying to remember words.
Oh no!
So when you guys threw
why did I write you such a complicated?
I know
sketch?
It was wonderful. So when I came in, you guys are just like with reckless abandon. Used to professionals who can pull this sort of thing off. They fire 5 scripts at me and go, "Here you go." This is it. Yeah.
Yeah, at about like 1 in the afternoon or so for a 9 o'clock show.
That's right. So I spent a lot of time going through, and the one sketch, like they were all good. They were all like just like really, really like wonderful pieces of comedy, I got to say. And you guys do a great job at it. Trust me, I'm not blowing my horn at this point. It is all the page, not the stage. Let me put it that way. You wrote me a sketch that I really wanted to do justice to.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the if you ever go onto YouTube or do a search for Rorschach does stand up, I do Rorschach doing stand up.
That search all the time.
Yeah. Who else is out there? There's another guy who did it.
What?
Yeah, he did it. But what he did is like the way that I sort of do my Rorschach. I dress up and I've got the how many people see the Watchmen?
Yeah.
Let's just see.
We're the only nerds in the room.
Okay, so
dig yourself out of this one.
All right, can't wait. So The Watchmen's this book. See, it's a graphic novel, and they did a movie of it not too long ago. And this character Rorschach is he's got this this mask, which is like a Rorschach drawing that constantly changes. Now the one I have doesn't because I'm not made of money and magic. And he's got like just a fedora, and he's like this mask guy, and he talks in a raspy voice like this, and. I did this this stand-up thing where I tried to write jokes of Rorschach doing stand-up because with the one of the characters, the comedian is dead, he's got to fill the void. And so that's the sort of thing I kind of took him through.
There's a character named the comedian, and you decided to be the other guy?
I decided to be the other guy. I decided to be the guy who was living. That's exactly it. Most of the roles I research are living characters. It's like, Todd, we need you for a table. Okay, I'm in.
Nice.
So I did that, and I sort of like just did in this persona. But this other guy who does it, he just shows up on stage, and he's got like the same Rorschach costume, but he just does like vaudeville jokes.
Like, I'd pay money to watch that.
Yeah, that's it. He makes no reference to the fact that he looks like Rorschach at all. He just like he comes up and goes, "Hey, my wife, she's no bargain," and it's just so weird. It is just the weirdest damn thing I've ever seen in my life. So
I would love to watch that. I'd love him to be up there like dancing pie in the face and then breaks a guy's finger and
exactly.
Leaves.
That's I think you can search for the other crappy Rorschach does stand up. I think that's it. But you really took time into making this.
That's just because I have Asperger's.
People. Yeah, is that right? Okay, good.
No, no, it's because I'm a huge nerd, man.
Okay,
I literally grabbed the graphic novel off of my shelf and copied word for word passages from it and fashioned that into a crude sketch.
Right.
Yeah.
It was very fun. It was a series of PSAs for kids that were. Done by superheroes. They had like Batman saying, "Make sure you eat a banana every day," and Supergirl was saying, "Don't play in traffic" or something like that. Or I can't
remember something about how she could jab a fork into her hand, but you kids probably can't.
Right, exactly. It's kind of that one reminded me of like those old War Amps commercials. It was like that really creepy
looking
robot.
I think I took the line from that.
Yes. Hi, I'm Ashtar, a robot. And it's like we kind of figured that because you just had your arm sawed off and you're talking to us. And it's like, yes, I can replace my limbs, but you can't, so play safe.
For the record, by round of applause, who remembers that old War Amps PSA from when we were kids?
Okay.
I YouTubed that recently. The production value on that is insane.
Yes.
It was made in like the mid to late 80s in Canada.
They still air it.
It's crazy.
Right.
It looks like Avatar. It's nuts.
Yeah. It's crazy production value, but their script writing, that's where they made the discounts.
That's where they cut the corners,
right.
Yeah.
So these two, they go out and do this, and then they cut to me in front of a microphone as Rorschach trying to do these PSA messages, but they're all things like, I will break every one of your fingers if you ever tell a lie. And the director's cut, can't do that. And so if it ever, I think we got to wait for the tapes to come out and they'll eventually
emerge. Oh, yeah, I got
the tape.
I want to try and put it on YouTube.
Awesome.
I think it'll be fun.
Awesome. I can't wait to see that. Take people, we just mentioned what Sunday Night Live is, but like you said, we just mentioned what Saturday
Night
Live is.
It's not Saturday Night Live, people.
No,
that
God,
would be litigious.
Yes.
No, Sunday Night Live, yeah, it's a show that goes on here at Comedy Bar, usually right now in the other theater, except like he said, we know not to put a show on the Oscars.
Right.
Apparently they've tried in past years and it's been grim.
Oh, like this? Is that you guys showed up here. And I'm so glad you did. Thank you so much. Give yourselves a hand like that.
There we yourselves.
Go. It sounds like we have people. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, but it's Sunday Night Live is exactly what it sounds like, except in a bar and we don't get paid and it's actually funny.
Yeah,
so that's
it is.
What we do every week.
It's very fun. And then there's loads of drinking afterwards.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. That really puts your week in a deficit, let me just say. It just, the
it's a little
the
tough that we do this Sunday night and Monday morning, a lot of us work.
Yes.
I had an office job for about the first year that I was doing the show, and I was garbage every Monday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolute garbage. That's I ran wonderful. Into you actually on the street. I was walking
through
my girlfriend's place. You seemed pretty chipper.
Well, that's a mask.
Okay,
that's
good.
As you know from my Rorschach work, I put them on pretty easily. And inside, I was just a turmoil of filth and awful. It was just brilliant.
It's like a Bukowski novel on the inside.
It did feel like Rorschach was constantly changing his face inside my belly, is what that was.
Sounds about right.
Let's bring out our other guest. Let's get some FaceTime with him.
Do I have to do the thing where I move down to the next one?
No,
like
no,
on
no.
Carson?
You can both use stay as an ensemble. No, like that's it. Fine. That's all right. Yes. That's
the most current reference I could have used.
Right. That's right. No, no. Hank Kingsley, you may stay.
Okay. All right.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring him all the way from the back. We can't thank him enough for coming down here and doing the show with us. Mr. Fraser Young.
Let's
see.
Good to see you,
brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Oh, hey, I just got to the microphone now. Hey, thank you very much, Todd. I appreciate you having me on here. Hey,
look at
wonderful
you.
To see you, Ian.
You know how audio equipment works.
Yeah, huh?
That's so fun.
Oh, guys, I'm way ahead of the curve on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, live audience. I'm wonderful to see you guys as well, although I can't see you guys. There's lights in my face. Oh, my God. Listening audience at home, I made a hilarious reference to the amount of light on stage right now.
Yeah. It's beaming.
You can tell by the amount of laughter emanating from the crowd. And I got some applause breaks.
The amount of laughter that we get, like I would say Jesse just going, ha ha, we will consider that an applause break for the evening.
Yeah, if nailed
we get,
it.
If we get a snort, that just means that's an encore right there as far as I'm concerned.
I just assumed the laughter was all added in post.
That's right. We use the same people as Comedy Now.
Nice.
And Whitney in the good. States. So we bump up the laughter on this. You are going to sound like an amazing audience. Not that you aren't now. Just bigger is what we're going to sound like.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are awesome. You guys are completely awesome. So it's good to have you guys here.
Thank you very much.
You. I wanted to start talking about, because I know, Fraser, a lot of people know you from your stand-up work.
Yes.
And Ian, you have started dipping your toe into that pond now as well, a little more regularly.
Feebly, yes.
I would not say so at all. In fact, Ian, the last time I saw you was performing, in fact, possibly you as well, Fraser, was in this very room performing.
Like on this very spot.
Are you still nervous about this? Does this spot bring you pain?
A little bit.
Okay. We'll walk you through it. Fraser, if you could hug him, that would be fantastic.
Oh, you don't even have to ask, buddy.
Okay.
That's in
all
the
right.
plans.
Yeah. You perform here. I think I saw Fraser here. And Fraser, by the way, is going to be performing here afterwards.
Yes, I will be performing here at the 9:30 show.
Right.
It's going to be a wonderful show.
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
And the producers of that show wanted me to let you know if you want to stay and watch Fraser do his stuff for free, you're more than welcome to.
It's going
to
be there great, guys.
It's going to be fantastic.
What's the 9:30 show?
It's called Work It Out. It's going to be some comics trying some stuff for the very first time. Listeners at home, you missed a great show, by the way, that's happening right after this.
Oh, my God, it was great.
It's going to be amazing. So it's like people trying out stuff that they've never tried out before.
Uh-huh.
I myself, I'm closing the show. I'm going to be doing some stuff I have tried before. Guys, it's not going to be all new stuff. Don't worry. I've got great stuff I'm going to do. Everyone loves it.
I did that for Total Request Comedy. I was on Devin Niles' podcast, and it's a similar theme. What they do is they take joke suggestions,
yes,
and then write them up, and then they go up and do brand new material at Absolute Comedy they're doing now on
nice.
The Sundays.
Right.
So they finally decided to bring in guests, and they brought me on. And thankfully, the night that we were there, the middle act for the show was not available to come.
Right.
So they gave us split middle, which was great, so that we could do 6 minutes of shitty new stuff and then spend the rest of the time using good material, proving A, that we can be funny, and B, sort of apologizing for what happened previously. So that's kind of fun. Have you have there been any sort of gigs that sort of stand out in your mind that you've done, either of you, for the past while? I'll give you a reasoning why I'm asking this question. I just got back from doing a show in Bob Cajun.
Ooh.
They should write a song about that place.
Huh,
they really should.
Huh? Nice Canadian band.
And I, they should. Yeah. They should. Ironically, they I think they performed that song for the first time up there.
Really?
Yeah, I think I think I saw it on like a Wikipedia page up there or something.
So they would know the song they would come to hate?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That's a, what is that? Don't read the lyrics of a song. That's what we're saying. Just like enjoy the nice strummy tones of the Tragically Hip.
You bunch of redneck assholes.
So we go up there. It's for like a hockey fundraiser, and it's like in this the community hall above a rink, like a rural rink and that sort of thing.
That just screams comedy.
And it does. Yeah. It does actually. And some of them did. They did scream comedy, as in, when are we getting some? And it was wicked. And most of all, the people were great. But two things sort of happened during the show, which were sort of weird, which is why I'm sort of asking is like, you know, what are the sort of weird things that you've had happen to you as you're performing either sketch or stand up? Two things happened. One, I went to use the bathroom in the upstairs area where the show is, and there's a whole bunch of people there. I go, the bathroom's closed. You got to go downstairs. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I go downstairs, and there's like a like an ambulance gurney that wasn't there before ready. So I'm like, oh shit, something happened. So like I go to, and I come back upstairs and go, what happened? Goes, a guy just passed out and there's an ambulance outside. And it's like, the show is going on. No one else knows this. And it's just like, and we're like, okay. And so like, you know, I turned to Brian who got booking for us and going, just to make this night even better, there's a guy maybe dying in the bathroom right now. So, and this is not the first time that this has happened in proximity to me. Like I showed up like at Absolute one night and they said, oh, this will be better than last night, we had a guy die. And I'm like, oh, fantastic. So instantly I'm thinking all the hack comics are now writing the I killed jokes.
Yeah.
But that was awful. So like I think the guy's okay, but like I think the only thing I could get from them is that they thought the guy was new to diabetes and didn't know about it.
New like, to diabetes like, is a fabulous term.
He was just trying diabetes. Yeah.
Like, I want to dabble in this. So yeah. I've been disease-free for quite a while.
I hear it's fun, yeah.
What is something that would really damage me if I start hammering back Ryan Cokes right now?
Oh, wow, there's two types of diabetes.
Ooh. That's really weird. Which one would I like? Which one gets you off the Food Network? Which one's that?
Type 2 diabetes used to be juvenile diabetes.
Yes.
Yes? Right. Huh? Oh, guys. Huh? I think medical so. Degree and Dr. everything. Dr.
Young.
Guys,
I've
got it all. Huh? Yeah.
Fraser Young, yeah. Walking Wikipedia.
Yes, indeed. I don't know what it means. I know that it used to be called juvenile diabetes, and I know that Jay Cutler has it.
Right.
These are the things that I know.
And so does Paula Deen. I think she's come out now.
Oh, no. Not Paula Deen.
Oh, I know. Such healthy cooking coming from her. You know, anyone who puts donuts in as an ingredient. Really? What did you think was going to happen, sweetheart? So that was one thing that happened. But throughout the entire show, and you people are not doing this because you're wonderful, as we have described.
Yay!
They're not dying of diabetes.
You're not dying of diabetes. Thank God. Do stay off the high-carb drinks, is what I am asking you this evening, just to prevent such things. There was a woman who was just hammered, like just liquored, hammered, blah, 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 and would not shut up throughout the entire show, despite, you know, the host trying, and he got her quiet kind of a little bit. And then I went up, and everything seemed to be fine. And then the headliner, Daryl Purvis, friend of the show, goes up, and she's just nattering throughout his entire thing. And he's, like, trying to shut her up and, like, doing all the mainstays of, like, you know, remember in her rehearsal when, you were quiet? Mm-hmm. Go back to that.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing is shutting her up. And so the organizer comes over and goes, I'm sorry we didn't start earlier. She's normally not like this. Because it's a small town. Everyone knows everyone's fucking shit. So they just know it's like, hey, there's Jimmy. You know, you're lucky he's not vomiting in his hat by now. But this woman kept going. So we thought, okay, fine. That's it's been explained. The organizer knows it's her and not us and everything's fine. But then her friend comes over to us and goes, just so you know, I'm not excusing her behavior, but she beat cancer at one point. It's come back.
Oh,
and
Lord.
She's got to go in for chemotherapy on Monday, and this is her big night out. Yeah. And so everyone of the comics is standing there with this look on their faces like, holy shit. And the only thing going through my mind is normally when you're dealing with these things, that's when it comes out of the audience's mouth. It's like, you know, will you shut up? I have cancer. Thank you. Good night. Yeah. I'm done. I am done. And I'm literally cataloging all the jokes I didn't do that mention cancer. One of them was the specific type of cancer she had. That would have been great for everyone. So
because you're known as the cancer comedian.
I'm the cancer comic. A lot of people do not know this about me. So that's
on your website.
Yeah, it is. Top and Elm, cancer comic. Yeah. Coming in, swooping in, and making you feeble and ill.
Yeah.
That is what I do.
Top and Elm, can't beat them.
Not that you haven't had people die or diseased people in your... Have you ever had, like, sort of, like, awesomely weird experiences like that?
I've never had anyone righteously yell at me, because I think if you got going into, like, cancer, like, recurring, mm-hmm. I think you can yell at any comedian you want.
Oh,
I think
for sure.
That should be the rule.
You're a goddamn hero.
I think Daryl Purvis especially deserves to have cancer victims yell at him. for me, I know. Like, I mean, usually when I'm on stage, there's like just like excited squeals and mm-hmm. gasps of amazement from the audience, more so than...
How do you make that happen? How do I jump on that boat?
It's like the... I mean, you don't want to pin it all. Sarnia is my worst city. Mm-hmm. Sarnia, I've had... I mean, like, nothing anywhere near that, but Sarnia as a city does not care for my comedy.
Right.
I'm 0-2 of my bottom five gigs of all time.
That's so weird. Up north. Is Sarnia up north? I'm from Nova Scotia. I don't know
out
west province.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, out west, Ontario.
Yes, out west. Right. It's out by Grand Prairie.
Sarnia,
get a map.
BC, sure. Yeah. No, but me and my other sketch group, approximately three Peters, we played in Orillia one time. And it was, they started the first ever Orillia Comedy Festival.
Right.
Except when we got there and started doing it, it was clear that they had wanted stand-up.
Right. Yes.
That's all they had wanted, because they had like a microphone set up in the corner of a sports bar. Yeah. And that was it.
I believe I performed at that one.
I don't know. This one was just for sketch troops.
Okay.
You might have performed a later year, because I think they fixed it and brought in stand-ups.
And then I broke it again.
Oh, yeah. But we were performing in this sports bar in the corner, and there was like three people, God love them, watching us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the NBA... Or no, it was like college basketball finals.
NCAA.
So,
that's
oh,
right.
My God. March Madness.
Everyone watching that.
Again, righteously not paying attention to comedy, I would say.
Amazing. And then after the show was done, we had the best experience we've ever had with a person, but the weirdest. It was this guy, human being ever. It was this guy comes up, really heavy kind of guy. And he goes, hey, I really like that sketch you guys did about the bank robber, because I robbed a bank. Like, I just got out of prison like a week ago. Don't tell my parole officer I'm here. And the guy lifts up his shirt to show us his beer gut and this giant prison tat
he had
of like a very large Aboriginal woman.
Mm-hmm. Not that the woman was large, I'm guessing, but just because it was covering so much canvas.
Yeah.
Okay. That's,
She was originally very small.
Right. But since, you know, the decay of his body occurred, it's now like silly putty.
Now, and, just to confirm, is going to a comedy show a parole violation?
Yeah.
Like, is that something you would have got in trouble for?
I like to think I was. Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
he seemed very concerned about it. I don't know why.
It's the possible association with criminals.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's one of the violation rules right there.
We're pretty shifty.
Right.
Yeah. Just by and large.
I would have loved it if after he said and declared to you that I'm a bank robber, they just pulled out his notebook and said, now let me help you with the rewrite here. What actually happens is, now you held your gun thus. That only happens in the movies. That sideway thing? No. You're going to have some kickback. Double hand that, sir.
Very concerned with the verisimilitude. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's everyone's got very strong attention to details. That's it. You lit up as soon as March Madness happened.
Yes. March Madness is my favorite time of year sports-wise. It is like, especially the first 2 days of March Madness,
mm-hmm.
where all the teams are in play and your bracket's just starting out. That's the best.
It's kind of like, for me, it's like... Like in the big tournaments, like the World, like in soccer, it's like the World Cup and the Euros, where there's all the group stages and like every game is going to mean something.
Yeah,
and really just, and it's the same sort of thing. It's just like you just need to play. You only need to play seven games to win the World Cup and like win them. If you win seven games, that's it. So you just got to be on your game that much. And it's the same thing with March Madness.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's five tiers or something like that.
I think you got to win six games basically. It is the best thing, and it's. Because it's games all day for like the first 2 days, mm-hmm. there's literally like about like 14 hours of basketball with people I don't care about at all, people I've never heard about. And it's like life and death watching these guys because I have $20 riding on the results of this pool.
And you don't want to look like an ass in the office when you fail at that pool.
Yeah. Yes, gentlemen, I also enjoy a sport.
I think that's not in your wheelhouse. Yeah. Is that?
Yeah. No. Clearly, I enjoy the sporting event you're describing and follow it closely.
Well, the reason I brought up, and not to exclude Ian at all, but
please,
it looks like
no. Please go nuts.
It looks like we're about to. But we'll get to your tweets later. We'll get to your tweets later. Don't you worry about it, sir. Yesterday, I was just kind of flipping around, through the Twitter, as I normally am wont to do. And you were just like tweeting up a storm on the NBA All-Star Game.
Yes. Well, the skills competition.
Skills.
Yeah. I was.
Is that how they pronounce it? Is it are they urbanified that?
I don't know.
It's like the Doritos Extreme Skills competition.
Oh, I listened to the radio last night coming back from the show, and we're listening to like Leafs Talk Radio, and it's like, yes, we'll be handling everything about the Coors Light NHL closing deadline. I'm like, and I just turned to Daryl as we're driving back. I go, you think they get money for that?
Yeah.
Is that, do they get money? So yeah, you're like,
but yeah, the dunk competition this year was super lame. Uh-huh. Because it might as well have been the three of us going out there. It was just like four guys who are nobodies in the league who can right. dunk, and they were all right. garbage, unimaginative dunks. Right. One guy jumped over. Do you know the comedian Kevin Hart? Yeah, he's 5 foot nothing.
Okay,
someone jumped over him, and it's like that was one of my tweets was, oh, when are they going to jump over Vern Troyer?
Right.
It's not. I'm not impressed with your ability to jump over Kevin Hart.
Okay, I am going to place this Brussels sprout on the court. Watch me leap.
There was no creativity, right. Nothing exciting going on.
What makes it creative in your mind? Is it just like the spin?
I would say bringing something new. Like anything, you know, any sort of creative effort is bringing something that hasn't been done before. Not just like a rehash. And I mean, the thing is, with dunking a basketball, there's not that many ways to do it.
No. Right.
Like, that's why, I mean, they've pretty much done it everywhere. Like, I thought there was nothing a while ago. And then the one year when Vince Carter was in it and just blew my mind with the dunks that he did. And then that was it. Like, he had, like, there was three ideas left, and he did all of those three, right. And now there are zero ideas left for fun dunks.
See, my first exposure to dunking was NBA Jam when I was...
Oh, man, well, see if they could do that stuff.
I know, and it's like anything in real life is just anticlimactic after a ball lights on fire. Yeah.
Right.
If you can get your feet above the rim, it's going to be a pretty spectacular dunk, I think.
They should do it with motocross, they do that thing with a handlebar, and then just, like, do that. Not to get mathematical, but I think there's more.
Yeah.
I think there's more than three or four.
Yeah.
Because there's, if you think about it, the circle has 360 degrees about it. So you could approach it.
Oh.
Backboard is going to cut some off, obviously.
Yes.
But there's a good 270 degrees of approach that
easily.
You could use there.
Easily.
That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, it's just like you got your windmill dunk. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your two-handers. You can dunk two basketballs. Like, there's a finite
two
amount.
Two basketballs?
Yeah, well, actually, that guy who won. Right. He won because he dunked two basketballs at the same time.
That's illegal in play.
You know what? Officially,
how is
I mean,
this?
There are also
over Kevin Hart is illegal in play as well.
Disturbing amount of traveling going on as well. No calls. They were palming the ball the entire time.
This to me makes a mockery of the sport. Now, to answer your question about jumping over a short fella on the court, what if he lost his way through? He got a beer and like he just sort of lost his way because we all do that. Well, what section am I in?
And he just happens to gets up off the sidelines and wanders around.
He happens out on the court and then suddenly Linsanity is coming up on him like, oh dear, and he just does a little crouch because he can't do much else. He doesn't want to spill because then they got to get the mops and the towels on the court, and he just leaps over them. That I can see.
That's
two balls.
That's a reasonable scenario. You
two balls? Yeah. That's where's the ref?
Insane.
That's what I'm asking.
There's not even two basketballs in any arena at the same time. They have one. If there's something that happens to that one, they just cancel the game.
Right.
Come back tomorrow, everyone.
I think they should do that with lacrosse, actually. Have a multi-ball function, and that would really jazz up that sport a lot.
Oh, my God,
it's a great game, but no one goes to watch it as much as they should, as far as I'm concerned, because I run things around here, let's be fair.
It's an entertaining sport, but, I mean, they don't even, like, it also happens in the ACC. They don't even sell out, like, the top row of the balcony.
Oh,
they don't
God.
Even, but they just tarp it down
yeah.
because no one cares about lacrosse.
Right.
It was funny because, like, there's no money involved in it. I happened to be cruising across today. Caught some of the Scotties Tournament of Hearts, like a curling tournament. First prize in the Scotties Tournament of Hearts is $15,500. Mm-hmm. And are you splitting that four ways? You're not even making $4,000 a person for the best in the country?
Right.
That seems a little bit less. Is it even worth your time to go there?
Yeah, probably barely covered your travel costs. Yes.
You got beer money that you got to fight for as well. That's I don't know if you saw the sheets of ice now, but like before, it used to be just like a little heart that was in the button of the curling rink. Yeah. The button is like the most inner circle. So they just had little Scott Turner hearts. That used to be it. Now they got like Scotties and tissue. Like
I did see that the other night.
All over the ice. So that has to be A, distracting, and B, I can't even see the rocks now because it's like, okay, it's up against a little cushy teardrop thing that they had from years ago, who is now making a comeback. That's it. More sports sponsorship. That's what I said. This is the Coors Light NHL Countdown, ladies and gentlemen. That's it.
That was more Law and Order, I guess. Does. Yeah, someone got murdered at the end of his commercial.
Yes. So that was a in the Canadian sports entertainment industry, there are two bodies. The fans that watch the game and Gary Bettman, who fucks it for everyone.
Next up on the podcast, the part where we think it's the wrong guy for a while.
Yes. And then we do DNA testings and we find out it was, in fact, Robin Williams. Why else would he be there?
I love that. I love it. If anyone's getting paid more than the regular cast of the show, you know they did it.
Yeah. There was they had like one I guess they got onto that because you just figure you look at the cast and of like you know and special guest star including you know it'd be like you know, I don't know Neil Patrick Harris you go well it's gonna be him right
for
it's gonna be him so I watched this one episode and they had like four marquee people on it they had like a Rita Moreno was in there they had it was decently big enough
you said marquee
marquee for Law and Order let's be fair like you know Dustin Diamond can probably show up on that show and probably get the good trailer you know that's gonna happen but they also had like Alfred Molina on there and like a couple of others just and so now you're going well I don't know who's killing now that's weird I gotta go to like some website that tells me what actors make and to see who's got the biggest house and then I can go oh it's obviously
for sure that guy
okay tweets that will include you now we can talk about Law and Order some more if you want I think we
guys it did it again
yeah just when I think we've hoed that row enough just when I think nope you're back in again thank you very much we need to turn this into a morning zoo don't you think we need more toilet flushings dog barking I think that's what
out
we
of
need.
Context Family Guy quotes
yes Austin Powers yeah baby wouldn't go amiss I don't think you today were live tweeting the Bob and Doug show on CFRB 1010 today. Rob Ford being our mayor and Doug Ford, his nepotistic, is that even a word?
Sure.
Brother. Who are basically taking the city apart, like you know, like a hillbilly trying to take apart a transmission, right?
They're like halfway through,
right? And they're doing a great job. Let's be fair of that dismantling. So now they've got their own radio show where people can call in.
Oh yeah.
And so I got home from a day of blind shopping. That's right. That's how my day went.
That's offensive.
That's what blind shopping?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't shopping for CNIB people. I was like, you know, window dressings. That's a fucking great way to spend a Sunday.
Wow.
So
you know how to live, Tom.
Yes.
Allen.
So I looked at my watch and I went, oh shit, it's on today. And so you know, the girlfriend's in the car and we're just driving home and it's like, oh, I have to listen to this. And so I turned it on and I literally got a minute and a half through and I went, that's enough. That is just that
that's
is
all you need.
That's ear cancer. I cannot take that. Because I'm the cancer comic, and even still, I went, this is offending my sentiments. There's no way I could listen to this. But you stuck through it for longer than I did.
I was looking at it on Twitter, and I listened to like the last 40 minutes of it, which is more than enough. But man, that's a bad radio show. It's a really bad radio show.
Right.
My favorite part of it was when one woman called in, and she had like two fairly reasonable questions about transit in this city. You could tell that she wasn't fans of the Fords, and they immediately turned her microphone off and then said, we have to go to a commercial. 8 minutes of commercials went by before they came back and like kind of answered one of her questions,
right?
But like 8 straight minutes, which even for AM radio is a ton.
Maybe there was like a secret code within those 8 minutes of commercials that answered a question on its own,
right?
Like a Da Vinci code of municipal politics.
Yeah. So she's in her back shed, John Nashing this thing together with transcripts and string, circling words. Oh, I get it now. No bike lanes. I got it. Okay. The only tweet that I had is like, oh, wow, I'm listening to the Rob Ford radio show. My podcast is safe. That was it.
The best tweet that I saw about it was from a guy that I know who does improv. He writes for the Globe and Mail named Ivor Tossel. And like one of the first things that he wrote about Doug and Rob was, this radio show sounds like two kids having a tea party with their stuffed animals. I was like, that's all right. I need to right. know before yeah. I've even listened to it.
By the way, that's the drive spot on CFRB 1010. Just so you're clear, make sure you tune into that show. So obviously, you've got opinions on this, and certainly you're taking to the tweet waves and voicing them, Fraser.
The tweet waves,
yes, the tweet waves. Is that what we're going to call that? Now?
I have not yet waved my tweets at it, but no. I am I'm thumbs down on their efforts in general.
Yes, for sure.
I don't care for that business.
Right.
No, not at all. Not
you,
one bit.
You should be waving your tweets at it. You get beads. Yeah. You know, wave those tweets out there, buddy. You just go down to Mardi Gras after your Pancake yeah, exactly. Tuesday. Right there, you have a good time. I think a lot of people have been burned on getting out messages on social networks and stuff like
yes.
that. And certainly myself, I haven't. There have been some times where you're tweeting something, you go, "Ooh, do I say that?" And then you just you go, "Yeah, it's a funny joke. I might lose some people on it." And sure enough, I lose two, but I gain eight. So
right,
I'm like,
sure.
"Oh, okay, the bad people went away. They get me." But my mom sent me this email. They're on vacation right now, and they ended up visiting friends of ours in Texas, or not friends, relatives actually, in Texas. And my their cousin Dirk Van Allen. Look him up on your IMDb. Could that be any more of a Texas name? Outside of that arty farty Europe bullshit, he's got closing out that name of Van Allen. But Dirk, that is. Yeah, Dirk Van Allen is here and on the case.
That guy's hung an outlaw or two.
Oh, yes. Yes. Ironically, an actor.
Really?
Yes. So someone in this family has talent. It ain't me. So he's picking up the slack. And so my mom sends me this email and go, "Oh, we visited the relatives in Texas and we just got back. We're back in Florida now. Everything's great. Dirk follows you on Facebook and he showed us some stuff. Interesting." And that just hung there for me. For like a long while, and I'm like, what have I done on Facebook? And now I'm going through like every fucking update that I've ever done, going, what have I done? What have I done? Has anyone ever called you on your shit on Facebook?
No, again, I just get like rounds of applause every time I go visit my family. They're like, yeah!
Why am I mired in awkwardness with everything I do or attempt? Is that it?
Yeah, I like having my mom on my Facebook because it's like a security precaution that prevents me from writing anything that'll prevent me from being employed at a later date.
Right.
It's like, I'm about to write something. It's like, oh, would I want my mom writing this? Probably, or reading this? Probably not.
Probably not. I guess that's a thing. Some people just do it with reckless abandon.
For sure, yes.
Yeah. The only reason my mom ever went on Facebook was to follow my sister-in-law so she'd get pictures of the grandkids.
That's
her thing. And see when I'm doing my shows in front of eight people inside Comedy Bar. That is exactly right.
For her, it's the granddaughter machine.
Yes, that's exactly it. Because it's moved from the solitaire machine to the granddaughter machine now. Gotcha. That's exactly it. We had some questions at the back that were filled in. Yes, we did. And also, I did post out here. We'll see if we get any. I did invite people to tweet the guest at CATP Podcast. That's right, folks, Cat P. And is it just the one? And it's just the one. Just
when
the one?
Are the Oscars starting?
Yes. Holy shit! Now. Okay, so I'm gonna fire up Twitter and see if we got anything here.
You're just gonna shovel some coal in the
machine.
We
got nothing. We got nothing. Look at this. Even in cyberspace, I can't get people to not watch the Oscars and come here. Look at that. That's fine. Okay.
We're gonna have to stretch this question.
Okay, we are actually okay, but thankfully, what just happened?
Oh my god!
Like
a
the wall
door closed,
just,
guys. A door closed.
Dun, Jesus, dun, dun. Is that what it was?
Yeah,
did someone just open that and close it.
Law and door-er, huh, guys? Guys, they're really turning it around.
So a question from the back of the room. Thank you very much. We can open it up to the floor as well if you have any questions. Because really, I really was hoping for more than just. Please, people. That's what I'm asking. My brother just started out in comedy. How many years does it take to get good?
Eight.
Next question.
It doesn't take any years to get good, but it takes, you know, a number of years to be. But, I mean, if you're not good immediately, give up.
Yeah.
Just quit.
Like anything in life.
You get better as time goes on, but if you suck, you're always going to suck.
Right. By the way, we're going to be having a slam dunk competition later. Yeah. You can actually see that in practice. Because Fraser seems to think we can. But if I know my documentaries correctly, white men can't jump.
Well, that was actually one of the things, part of the dunk competition as well. There was like, all of a sudden they're interviewing P. Diddy, was sitting there, and they're interviewing him, and I was like, why the hell are they doing it? And then he's like, well, my favorite movie, what's your favorite basketball movie? Oh, my favorite basketball movie is White Men Can't Jump. And then the white guy in the competition brought him out. It was all set up.
Right, right, right.
And then he stands there, and Diddy throws up a ball, and the guy jumped over Diddy and grabbed the ball and dunked it. And that actually, that was a pretty good dunk, but I mean, Diddy's what, like 5'8"? I don't know, 5'9"?
Yeah. No, he's shorter than that, actually.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's Kevin Hart's size.
Is he?
I don't know.
Kevin Hart is the new unit of measure we use for height, by the way. That just got passed. I don't know if you people saw it in the papers today. I would hate to see us dunking, to be quite honest.
I'm able to dunk on like an 8-foot net, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
guys, I'm really athletic.
I sometimes see like as you're driving through neighborhoods and stuff like that, the little Fisher Price net set up in the driveway.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Knock that down a foot, and I'm good.
Yeah,
that'll be fine.
You could kick the ball.
I could kick the ball
down.
To get back to the question, how long does it take?
I feel like
we
should actually answer that.
How long does it take to get good? I don't know. It just happens at some point. Like some people, it will take forever, I think, to find sort of that voice and be able to do well in the room. And other people, like, I think Norm Macdonald was middling after 6 months.
Really?
Or something like that with Yuck Yucks. Like, it was like the way he did it, too. Mm. The rumor has it in Ottawa. This is completely unsubstantiated.
Did you start in Ottawa?
He did, actually. Okay, yeah. He started in the Ottawa Yuck Yucks. And that's where I spent a lot of my time as well, sort of doing that. So I got to see him after he had done sort of the amateur nights. But he would go down to the regular amateur night, which is like a weekly, and he would do a series of jokes, and he'd do really well with them. Like, just like brand new, never done them before, because there were no other rooms at that point.
Yeah.
And then he'd come back the next week, and he'd have an entire new set of jokes,
right?
Nice.
Which would go well, and he did this like 4 weeks. And someone said to him, "Go, you know, Norm, you don't always have to do new material." And he was like, "Oh, I wish you told me earlier." And then by this point, he's got like 20 minutes of like killer shit,
wow. Right?
And then just, you know, tinker with it a little bit, and then boom, off he goes.
Nice,
just a brilliant man.
Yeah.
How long you been at it for?
I've been at it for about 14, 15 years.
Yeah,
now. Yeah,
yeah. When are you going to get good?
Hey. It's going to be any day now. It's going to be any day. I'm getting all the high fives from the family.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Don't let your mom follow you on Facebook. Yeah. She'll be honest. Like, even my mom right now is commenting on my post for this show.
Oh,
on good. Oscar night, you jackass! That's it. Ian, how long have you been doing it? You've been doing sketch and comedy in general?
Sketch and improv and stuff for about 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stand-up for how long now?
I can't even claim that I've really done stand-up that earnestly.
I've seen you do it, so shut up.
Like, I've done it. And I did your...
Are you calling me a liar, sir? Have you no decency?
Oh, my God. This turned into the McCarthy hearing.
It did.
No, I kind of do it here and there for about the last year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think that, I mean... I guess I have a bit of an advantage in that I was doing sketch and improv, so I'm comfortable on a stage.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable reading a crowd and stuff like that. But I definitely, like, I look at people who genuinely do stand-up, and I'm like, oh, that takes work and dedication to this specific thing. So I know that if I ever want to get better at it, I have to actually put that time in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Agreed.
Very nice. my phone indicates, and actually it's Darcy, our producer. He doesn't like being called producer, but he's like basically...
He puts
the shows up there for you. Phone guy. I actually had the same one. By the way, if you haven't listened to the season opener... We did a phone interview with Dylan Brody from the States. He just put out a new album this past week of recording, and it's called The Chronological Disorder. Make sure you go pick that up. He's a very, very funny guy and a great conversation we had with him. But Deanne Smith, another comic, she
very
opens
funny.
Out, and Darcy just went fucking crazy on production. So this is like, nice. It's no longer my jackass reality. I'm going, I hope you like it. Here's a guest. And then I go, we have a tweet.
Oh, yay. Nice.
We have a tweet. Hey! You should ask Fraser. I like this already.
Yeah.
So at the exclusion of Ian. That's pretty
fuck that guy.
Fucking polarizing.
We're moving to the future.
What's the square root of 7,054,336? Fraser, what do you got?
I'm going to say it's 2,656.
I'm going to go to the wall. Yes!
Ding, huh? Ding, 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 ding. Guys!
Kung-kung.
Guys! Huh?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. That was sent in, by the way. Thank you very much. At @young_Fraser. Thank you very much for sending that in.
Thank you very much.
I nailed that one, guys.
Good work.
I'm really good at math.
This is... I did take a math degree. Like, that's what my school learning is. That's my book learning.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is how fucking stupid math nerdy I was for quite a long while. My ID number in university was 88,037,207. prime number. Thank you. Thank you. I had nothing to do with that. Randomly given to me. And so, like, I was taking encryption courses in like, the first year of algebra.
Right.
I was like, choose an arbitrarily large prime. Got it. Okay. All right. Away to the races. Still failed that course. Okay.
You did not see a boob until after university.
I did not. I did not. If only the internet had been around.
Yeah. Wow.
And I could reach that top shelf at the magazine stores. Yeah. Let's open this up before we all go out and watch the Oscars, which I think is fun. Are you guys actively interested in the Oscars?
Not at all.
I not particularly interested in the Oscars.
Right. Did you see any of the Oscar movies this year?
I saw The Artist.
Okay.
That's a hell of a movie.
I saw Midnight in Paris.
Was that good?
It was pretty good. My girlfriend loved it. Her favorite movie last year, hands down.
That's going to happen.
That was good.
You know, that's Midnight in Paris. Who's that aimed at?
Yeah.
You know, really. I don't think I saw any. No, I saw Moneyball.
Yeah, I saw that. I wanted to.
I really enjoyed that, actually. I thought it was very fun.
Because we all know I love the sports.
Yeah.
And I actually still really enjoyed it. It was super interesting.
It's because it's not about that aspect of it. It's more about sort of like
it's about the math.
Yeah,
it is.
It's about the math. Huh? Oh, that's
bring
why.
It back.
That's
this why. 2,656. Yes. I still remember it, although I don't remember what that number I put in was for the
game. That's why I like that movie so.
Except in this movie, the guy working with the math looks like Brad Pitt.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And
so that's really why you like this movie.
That did not happen in Waterloo. That is, no, that's a lot of acne and tubby is what you saw in those days. I'm trying to think of what else. I heard The Help was decent, but not as good as the book. The Descendants?
I heard that was supposed to be really good.
I know. I saw it and it was, I did not care for it.
No?
Yeah.
No, and I love that guy's other movies, too. They're great. Like Sideways and About Schmidt and stuff like that.
The only thing I knew about that movie was what Jimmy Pardo said on his podcast, which was that, like, it was a really well-acted, mediocre film.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's what I felt about There Will Be Blood. I thought it was, like, amazing acting.
Oh, we have Crisis now. Yeah. Someone disagrees with an opinion on a podcast. Yeah. This is going out on the internet where every opinion is safe. Come now.
There Will Be Blood. Like, cool acting. What was that movie about?
I didn't care for the movie overall.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. Take that, Jesse.
Sounds like we can parenthetically title this episode There Will Be Fights. Because that's going to happen. The one thing that galled me about this is that they went from the 5 Best Picture nods to 10. Which just totally muddies the water, in my point. It's like, if you can't find 5 movies that you're making you got to make a cut at the end anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Just make 5. That's all. It's like, it was fine. No, but they went to 10. They only went to 9, and they didn't give the chance for Bridesmaids to get a bit of a nod.
Oh,
to just say
for sure should.
They only went.
They only went to nine. They could have slotted in Bridesmaids into that 10th spot.
Arbitrary.
Yeah. Just and then they of course they tried out all the old stories they did today in the star of, like, you know, 93% of the Oscar of like the Oscar voting committee are white and 75% are or no 93% are male and 75% are white, something like that. So
just like Congress,
exactly. Yeah, so much good happens there. We really need to do some shifting up. Like, I just get the feeling that with all the screeners that they get. It's really fighting for shelf space in the DVD room for, like, the seasons 2 through 6 of According to Jim, for the most part. Like, I just don't see any humor coming out of these guys.
No.
All. That's it.
Yeah, it sucks that they've never had a humor category at all. They really should.
I don't even think they need a humor category. I think that one, in terms of his writing, in terms of the acting, I thought it was so well put together.
Oh, yeah.
It changed it. They didn't know how to market it, I think, for one thing. Because it came out thinking, oh, it's just going to be a chick flick. And then, like, friends of mine came back and went, oh no, it's funny.
Same,
it's very good.
Because I don't think it was marketed very well, and I had to, like, read reviews and hear reviews of it before I went to see it, and I was like, oh my god, this is awesome, man.
Yeah,
I kept hearing it pushed as, like, the lady version of The Hangover. And
yes,
it's not that at all.
No, it's not.
A much better movie than The Hangover for one, but,
and touching too in a lot of parts. Man. You know, and when I say touching, when you see a woman taking a shit in the street with a wedding dress, my god, that just single tear there, single tear. I think we got time for a couple of questions. Does anyone have any questions
oh god,
nope. Let's not a one. Look at that.
We can do more math questions, guys.
Not one goddamn question. Seriously, we're done. All right,
I think we're done.
Look at that.
Square root of 16 is 4.
Oh!
On fire.
Very
on
nice.
Fire, people.
You walk in Wikipedia.
Wait a second. Hold on. Todd.
Yes.
Does that check out?
Just a second.
Oh God, he's
we're good. We're good.
All right, good.
Very nice. I just used my math degree. Look at that. Mom right now is going under my comment. Well, that was money well spent.
Excellent.
Right there. Fraser, people can follow you if that question you sent yourself is anything to go by, young_Fraser on Twitter.
Indeed, yes. Yeah.
Youngfraser.com
is my website. I just updated the calendar the other day. Oh man, guys, it's all coming together.
What shows you got coming up? Let's say.
What do I got coming up? I'm going to Winnipeg Comedy Festival in
nice.
April. Yeah,
nice. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Are you able to talk about what the specific topic is that you're?
It's going to be observational comedy disorder. So it's not really it's not really a theme. Like you usually do themes.
Because they normally do themes, right?
Yeah, just like observational stuff.
Okay, cool. That's fun. Ian, they can follow you as Mr. Ian McIntyre.
That's me.
That's very highfalutin. That's
It that even when I have arguments with Christian fundamentalists on Twitter, they still have to call me Mr.
Yes.
Raising the bar for yourself. Yep. Right there.
Yeah, Mr. Ian McIntyre, you're an idiot.
Yeah. It does make you sound more authoritative.
It really does.
I love it. That's very fun. When you come after the king, you better not miss. And you have a web presence as well?
Yeah, I have a site called ianmack.ca.
Okay, perfect. It's very fun. Both of your sites I really enjoy going to.
A lot of
fun things there.
That's where all that traffic came from.
Exactly. Your 3 hits per month. Right here, guys. Right there. Make sure you go there. Make sure you go to comedyabovethepub.com as well. You can follow this very podcast, like I said before, on Twitter, CATP Podcast. That's right, folks. Cap P. You can follow me at Hey It's TVA. You can go to the website, TobinAllen.com or HeyIt'sTVA.com. They both go to the same place. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it once again for our guest, Mr. Fraser Young.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Ian McIntyre. Thank you for coming out, folks. Enjoy your Oscars. We will see you last Sunday of next month. See you then.
Lately, I find I rush. Can't piece together the sun in the sky or the spots on my